It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin state lawmakers are at odds over rules for election observers and how to ensure local officials stay compliant with administrative rules.
Last year, Governor Evers vetoed a Republican bill that would have given election observers closer access to local officials during the voting process.
This week, the Assembly's Campaigns and Elections Committee voted against recommending a new set of standards for poll watchers.
And this comes as voters will be asked in the April 1st election to enshrine the state's voter ID law into the state constitution.
We're checking in now on voting and election administration with a pair of lawmakers who serve on the Assembly's seven-member Campaigns and Elections Committee.
Republican Representative Scott Krug is here, Assistant Majority Leader, Vice Chair of this committee, and represents a district that covers parts of Adams, Juneau, and Wood counties in central Wisconsin. And we have Democratic State Representative Lee Snodgrass, representing a district in east central Wisconsin, including most of Appleton and parts of Grand Chute. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Representative Krug, let's start with you. Can you get us on the same page here as to where we are now with current rules for election observers in Wisconsin, and how are these rules enforced?
Yeah, so right now what the overall goal of lawmakers is to try to standardize rules across municipalities. Having 1,800-plus municipalities run local elections, it's hard to have one set standard unless we find a way to get that done. So that's where we're sitting right now, is trying to standardize rules either through the rulemaking process, or I think one of the stronger ways to do it is actually through state statute. So we actually have both sides of the equation represented in this discussion. Observers, we talked about last session, like you mentioned, is had a bill that came up to change the distance for observers. We're not looking to do things like that this time around. We just want to make sure that everybody understands a standard that can be acceptable across the board and that we use it in every municipality in the state of Wisconsin.
And Representative Snodgrass, what kind of work is going into trying to establish new rules for election observers? What has this process been like?
Well, I actually think I'm glad to hear my colleagues say that this clarifies what election observers, what their rights are. And frankly, it also clarifies what, chief clerks can do if somebody is disruptive. I think that where we differ is that I am really satisfied with the report that the Wisconsin Elections Commission's put out. It was this rule was written in a bipartisan fashion. One of them who wrote it was a Voss appointee. The other is a Democratic appointee, and they did it in a very transparent process, a very long process where they involved many stakeholders from both types of opinions, both for and against certain things. And, you know, I feel the rule is very clear, and that is the purpose. We ask administrations, commissions to develop rules that clarify things so that things can be more easily referred to and enforced. And they did just that. And I don't really see why we're not adopting the rule. I feel that we're using political games to sort of send this back into a process, which we've seen before with other issues. It's an ad nauseum loop.
And Representative Krug, why did ultimately the Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections vote against recommending these new proposed standards through the rules package?
Yeah, you know, there's two actual real good reasons why we did this. Is the first reason I think we heard during the hearing on the rules package. So we wanted to also have a standard in place that if a municipality or their chief election inspector wasn't following the standards that were put in place, that there would be some sort of a recourse for the observer, either in state law or an administrative rule that just didn't exist. And that's something that we need to visit in this package that we're going to take up legislatively through a bill that can become state law that'll enforce it even more. Secondly, I think even bigger, we see right now that the state Supreme Court is having a case in front of them right now that deals with JCRAR, the Joint Committee on Rule Review, and what their authority might be for objecting to rules. So to say this is a political process, objecting to an administrative rule in committee takes that out of the equation between the state Supreme Court and JCRAR, that the rules can actually be adopted into law without having to go through JCRAR, where the concern has typically been indefinite objections to rules and letting them sit on the shelf without implementing them. So I think the faster way through is to exercise the goodwill that we've established on this committee and actually write a bill that reflects 90-some percent of what, you know, WEC had put forth in this package, but also addresses the other 10% of making sure that there's some recourse for observers if something doesn't happen, and coming up to a bipartisan solution that the governor can sign into law.
And I want to talk more about the bill in the moment, but I want to ask you, Representative Krug, in terms of election officials, you have said that you want to make them have more skin in the game when it comes to following rules for what election observers can and can't do. Will a slate of penalties deter poll workers from volunteering or stepping up to administer elections?
Yeah, you know, it's not even so much penalties. It's just to have a process of recourse put into place for an observer to say, hey, I don't like what's going on here. Here's my next step. And that doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, start throwing misdemeanors around to poll workers or to chief election inspectors or municipalities. What we're saying is we just want a standard that's put into place to say, okay, this is the step you need to take, observer. If you feel that your rights are not being allowed to be exercised, this is where you need to take that to, whether it's going to be a local DA to have to come investigate or it's going to be an election judge of some sort that can be appointed. We don't know that mechanism quite yet, but nobody's talking penalties. We just want to have steps in place that an observer can say, hey, this isn't happening the way state law says. This is what I need to do next.
We are talking. Oh, sure, sure. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I would just say that that is exactly what the rule that was presented by WEC did. It did put that mechanism into place of here's the recourse and here's what to do and here's the process. So I love the work that we're doing on this committee. Representative Krug and I have worked extremely well together, even when we differ on issues. I don't trust it beyond this committee. We have seen good things go through the committee and then die and not get a hearing in the major body. So I think we've got something we can take action on here right in front of us, and to wait and see if we can get the full body on board with something we've created in the committee, to me, is an extra step and an extra risk.
That is Democratic State Representative Lee Snodgrass of Appleton with us, and we have Republican Assistant Majority Leader Scott Krubes, who serves on the Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections, as we talk about election observers and voting administration in Wisconsin. And I'm wondering, Representative Snodgrass, is there any thing in this committee looking into rules related to election observers who observe absentee voting at like residential care facilities or at nursing homes?
That's been something that we've also discussed. Certainly in the hearing, it came up. You know, there are issues of privacy. There are people in residential care facilities who cannot leave their room. And to have an observer go into that private space of somebody really is a violation of privacy. So we want to make sure that whatever is put forward is very cognizant of the fact that, you know, not everybody can go to a main area in the facility that they live in. Some people are really restricted to those bedrooms, those private spaces, and having an observer there feels quite like a violation of privacy.
Representative Krug, would you like to respond to that?
I think she's right. That's one of the things that as we were going through the process of hearing this rule package, that even my Republican colleagues and I are having sidebars on as folks came to testify saying they wanted to demand more access to that individual's bedroom, that even my Republican colleagues on the committee and I were chatting as we could, listening at the same time, of course, but looking at each other saying, yeah, we don't do that if I take my absentee ballot to my house and sit in my kitchen. I don't have an observer. So we're not going to take it into this rules package to say, hey, we're going to force that interaction to become even more intrusive. But at the same time, there are bills that will be floating around this session through the committee that'll address the process and the standards and determinations of incompetency and all these other things that go into voting with a special voting deputy. And, you know, we talked about those issues last session and we'll dive into them again this session.
And so with the bill you're working on, the legislation you're working on with standards for election observers, are you confident it could get across the finish line?
I don't see why not. I mean, this is one of those prime examples of exactly what we did last session, where we would hear a bill, understand that there's some things in there we don't agree on, try to work through those issues and get a bill in front of us, the entire committee can get to the floor. And I think it's even more important for us to recognize that our work as legislators to get a bill to the floor is going to be a lot easier than shipping it off to another committee who can just sit on it for as long as they want. So to get more buy-in, it creates more conversation between both parties to try to come to an agreement, understanding that Republicans in the legislature are going to need the Democrat governor to sign on to whatever we send to him. So we started seeing that a little bit last session, where we actually got some election bills signed into law.
You are both participating in a roundtable discussion in Milwaukee on Monday with the group All Voting is Local. Representative Snodgrass, why is having these kinds of across-the-aisle conversations important?
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately or unfortunately, Scott and I have set a standard of being able to have deep dialogue on things we may disagree on and to do it respectfully. We've kind of laughed that we've both gotten some local and national accolades for this type of work, when really this should be the standard. It should be the standard that you work in good faith with one another, even when you disagree, and you focus on those areas where you can agree. So I'm hoping that we can continue to model. I mean, we obviously both disagree on whether or not this constitutional amendment should be on the ballot this April. And I think we're going to have another really good discussion about the various perspectives on that. And I think it's important for the people in the state to see those discussions and hear those.
And Representative Krug, what are you hoping that comes out of a roundtable discussion in Milwaukee?
Yeah, you know, my favorite part of, you know, having volunteered to get into this election realm last session was trying to figure out different perspectives from different people across different parts of the state. And, you know, we have to recognize that we are not always experts on everything, so we need to get out and hear exactly what people are thinking in different communities. And, you know, Sam Liebert and I connected last session just on that same topic of being open, being bipartisan, being able to listen. So that's where this kind of developed into, is a couple of weeks before the state constitutional question, just to be in a community that I'm not completely familiar with, just to get some input from people on what the future of photo ID looks like, knowing that it's probably going to pass, probably going to be constitutional. But also understanding within that constitutional amendment, we did say that exceptions will be able to be made by lawmakers on different types of IDs to be used, different processes to obtain IDs. So that's the future of photo ID, is figuring out what those exceptions should look like into the future and if we need to make other accommodations.
And we have to leave it there with Representative Scott Krug, Assistant Majority Leader, Democratic Representative Lee Snodgrass joining us as well.